I've got that sound working. Okay. This question is, we're getting another question here this morning. We'll do try to do some questions for tonight, unless I can't get this thing done this morning. Got tons of scriptures this morning, but I can't imagine we'll get through them all. Like I said, this is probably on a balanced pastoral sermon design basis. I probably should do part of it this morning and part of it tonight. I hate to do that because it's all one thought here. The question is, I just don't understand how the tribulation folks don't get saved as we do. Okay, well, let's deal with that. Salvation. And as I started thinking about that question, explain that to somebody, let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2:13. And I know what the standard line is. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, is that the verse I want? Yep, that's the verse I want. I know what people say, the Baptists especially, but a lot of these Bible people say, you know, there's always been faith from the beginning till the end. You know, well, there wasn't faith in the Gospels because there he was right there. So there's no faith involved there. But yes, there was faith always involved, all the time. But whose faith was it that he was talking about? In the Old Testament, which includes the Gospels, it was their faith. And in the future coming up again, it will be their faith. And there is one verse that talks about these folks that they hang on to the faith of Jesus Christ, but apparently they can lose that faith that he has. Because nobody's sealed. Nobody's entered as such. So there is a difference. We are sealed, which we'll get to that in a second. Yes, we know that there's always been belief. They've had to believe. You read that through the Bible, all the places it talks about belief. But the question is, in what were they to believe? What was it they were supposed to believe? And yes, the Holy Spirit was always involved, Holy Ghost in the Old Testament, Holy Spirit, things like that. And yet, we are the only ones that are sealed already with the Holy Spirit. And during the tribulation, we know according to Acts chapter 2, I think it is, this Holy Spirit will be upon their flesh. We're the Holy Spirit in us, separated from our flesh, spiritual circumcision. So yeah, this is the stuff that is frustrating. When you talk to people, they sound like they're Christians. They sound like they've got the right faith. They sound like they're doing the right thing. They sound like they have the right belief. They sound like they know something about the Spirit of God or whatever, however different people put it. But that Bible will tell us specifically, dispensationally, what it is, who and what you are supposed to believe. It will tell us what the situation is between you and the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. It will tell you, yes, faith is involved, but whose faith are we counting on? Are we counting on our faith to keep us? Are we counting on His faith, the faith of Jesus Christ? Again, that's the only time that shows up is in our dispensation. And it does show up one time in the tribulation, but it mentions in the fact that they better hang on to it. In other words, they can lose it. And we can't. It's one of those things. You got to look real picky at some of these things. So, we see here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, a real classic verse, although it isn't classic to most people. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. This is after he explains what the tribulation is going to be like up there, being deceived and all that. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now this is where people get mixed up. What was the truth during the Gospels time? What was the truth during the Old Testament time? What is the truth today? What will be the truth in the tribulation? And if we're believing the wrong truth of the wrong time, you don't have that salvation. So when we start really picking this thing down with people, if they're willing to listen or talk and compare to scriptures here from the King James Bible, they could very easily find out that they really don't believe they're saved. They don't have assurance of it anyway. And I've got this one test, I haven't been able to do it for the longest time, where I would sit down with people, I would challenge their salvation, I would challenge them to give me the scriptures. Not what they think, not what they feel, not how they know, just give me some scriptures that secure your salvation. And they would always come up with some scriptures, but I would say, but that doesn't say what you think it says. That's not saying that, is it? They would agree. By the time we were done, I've told you this before, the ladies are crying and the men are angry. That's how they react, to be challenged by their salvation. So people don't want to be challenged. They say, well, that's between me and God. Well, it may be between you and God, but God knows whether you've got the belief of the truth of this dispensation. So let's go through some verses. And I just got a ton of verses here. Because people get mixed up. They really get mixed up. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 before we get started. Ephesians chapter 2. Where it says down there, Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that's the Jews, that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's a real good description of a lost person. Then he goes on, but now in Christ Jesus, and there's where you go with salvation for today. But before we do that, let's look at salvation in the past. By the way, my notes will be up today. They're just going to be a scanned copy of my hand notes. So if you really, really want to remember the verses we're going to slowly talk about, they'll be written down. But they'll also have the verses that we don't talk about. But there's, like I said, there's a string of verses here. Or, like I probably, this is going to go, we'll probably end up doing part of it now and part of it tonight. And then there goes my... I enjoy this question thing. It's been really fun for me. Challenging in some respects and enjoyable to answer it and preach it back to people or teach it. So let's look in the past. Then we'll look at the present. Then we'll look in the future. Salvation. Belief of the truth. What was the belief of the truth in the past? Let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter, I guess I better get there. John chapter 3, I've got to check something here. Excuse me, Luke John. John chapter 3, this is that classic little section, verse 3, where it talks about, you know, the born again, this kind of a thing. And what we've got to come to realize is when we talk about being born again, we're using a terminology that is very incorrect. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, singular, I'll explain this real quick. Thee is T, so it's a singular. The thee's and the thou's. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay. Now, you keep reading on this thing. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Da-da-da-da. He says it again in 5. He says it more perfectly, more completely. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not, that I said unto thee, ye. Now, this whole thing context here is to the Jewish nation. So you go through, and you read all the way down to 21, and he's talking about these great verses about belief. But we have, okay, now slow down, might as well read them here. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel? See, there's that reference to Israel now, the Jews. And knowest not these things? So it goes all the way down. Verse 14, Moses lifted up the serpent, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. The Son of Man, it says there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There's the reference to salvation for the whole world. We don't deny that. But during this time, the Gentiles were forbidden to hear this stuff. So what we see here, my point is this. When we read about what we read about in the Gospels, we're reading what he told to the Jews as a nation. They want to follow him. They want to be born again as a nation because the nation was born in Genesis 12. And they've faltered. They've gone to the wayside. They have idols, etc., etc. They've rejected his words, as Jeremiah puts it. And it comes back, here's their Messiah, Son of God, Son of Man. He's there to take care of them again as a nation, to be their Messiah. And if any of those Jews were to follow him, these are the verses to them. It's not written to Gentiles. It really was not written to Gentiles. We go to Matthew chapter 10. And this is what you got to see. This takes a little bit of time to explain to people. They just don't get it. They don't see it. This stuff in the Gospels is not written to us. But we're not the mid-Acts crowd that says, don't read it. Ignore it. No, we don't ignore it. It's there to teach us. It's to learn for admonition. It's to learn about what Christ did for us down here. Did while he was down here. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. He says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, saying to them, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The next verse. So, we're not in the picture in the gospel. We're not even in this picture. Look at Luke 2:32. I think I know what that one says. It's probably just a repeat. Luke 2:32. Says a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Well, where was the glory of thy people Israel coming from? As they would hear about the Gentiles, would hear about the Christ. So he'd be there for the world. He'll be there for the Gentiles. But he had to set the stage to the Jews first, because they were going to do it through them. And they're going to be the glory of thy people. They'd get the glory for this stuff. Now, So that's that. We'll say there's more verses than that, but that's not the point this morning. We see that it was to Israel. Now we see this word believe. Okay, well, that's a good thing. Believe what? We notice that in Acts chapter 8, there was no Holy Ghost yet. You haven't put on him yet. In John chapter 16, he says, when he leaves, I'll send the Comforter. Well, he hasn't left yet in the Gospels. And we know that according to Hebrews 9:16, I think it is, that we have no New Testament until he dies. So we're going to the Gospels for salvation, which everybody does, Baptists especially. You go to that stuff, you're going to a salvation message given to the Jews, not and has been kept from the Gentiles. So why do we go back and study and try to live and put the guilt trips and the do's and the don'ts from the Beatitudes and the all that kind of, why do we do that when those were written to us ever? So why do we do that? Let's look at Matthew 16. I'm just doing this quickly. Matthew 16. Yeah, we'll just have to slow it down and do the second half tonight. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 13. What do I have there? I have, okay, here we go. Matthew 16, verse 13. Then understood they how that he bade them, Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what they had to believe in the Gospels. They didn't have to believe that he died and rose again and have faith in that. That's not there. It did not exist. These folks had to believe that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. In verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say it also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. What rock? That he's the Christ. And then the craziest thing, if you haven't heard this yet, the craziest thing in verse 20 says, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Not just Jesus Christ, he was Jesus the Christ. Why is that? Look at John 6:44. If you haven't got that written down there, be sure and write that down. John 6:44 says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And then you go into John 17, Christ thanks God for the people that he gave to him. Kind of elected, it seems like there, doesn't it? But out of the nation of Israel, he didn't have many people follow him by the time he was done, did he? Even the disciples left him by the time he was done. Yet, it mentions that they were in Christ. They were in the body, those people. So, look at John chapter 6, verse 29. John 6:29. let's park just a few minutes here on this part here, which says that what they were believing was that Jesus was the Christ. He was the Messiah. John 6:29. And what only time this is going to come in handy is when we are talking with somebody and they keep going to the Gospels, or they're talking about their church or whatever, and I know your church teaches Gospels as your Gospel, and you're not following Paul's teachings. Oh, yeah, we do. No, you don't. You might pick some stuff out of there, but you get your salvation out of John chapter 3. You get your salvation out of believing in Jesus kind of stuff, you know. And to sit down and be able to do this with them, show them through the Bible, that, you know, what they had to believe, that he was the Christ. John chapter 6, verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." Verse 30. They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? And what dost thou work?" What are they trying to see here? They're trying to see that he was from God. Look at verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst." Okay, there's that believe again. Look at verse 4. Look at 39. "And this is my the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. I will raise him up at that last day." Look at verse 47. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Verse 48, "I am that bread of life." You're going to see here that he's getting these people not just to believe that he's, by their faith and trust, that he will save them. It's not what he's talking about here. When he talks about believe, they believe that he was the Messiah. And if that's the case, they'll have their everlasting life. Look at John chapter 20. We'll keep going here. John chapter 20. And people get mixed up with those verses. Those are great verses. But in their context, they're not being given to us. So why do we pull those out and apply them to us when they weren't written to us? John chapter 20, verse 8. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. What is it? Believed what? Well, that he would risen, apparently, don't you suppose? Look at the context above it. Okay. Look at verse 29. Jesus says, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." That's coming up. But he says, he saw, so he believed. What do you have to see to believe? You have to see that he was the Messiah. He was God. He was the Son of God. So he saw that. Look at verse 31. "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ." That's what they had to believe. The Son of God. "And that by believing, you might have life through his name." What was his name? He was the Christ. The Son of God. Look at chapter 17. John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 8. "For I have given them unto them the words which thou gavest me." He's praying to God that they have received them and have known sure that I came out from thee. They had to know that he came out from thee. Isn't that interesting? He didn't just come from thee. I came out from thee. "And they have believed that thou didst send me." That's what they had to believe. How can we get people to realize that when they believe, they see the words in the Gospels, that their belief is, does that make your salvation that you believe that he was from God, he came out from God, he was God, and he was the Messiah? Does that make us saved today? Got to read about Paul's stuff here. Let's keep going here. Verse 20, we did verse 20. No, we didn't. Believe 20. Verse 20, "Neither pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." That's coming up. Look at verse 30. No, look at chapter 16, verse 30. "Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Well, that's what they had to believe. Look at John 16:31. Look at 27. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. Look at John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 26, 27. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Okay. She saith to him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, who should come into the world. Look at John chapter 6. I'm going backwards on this thing, I notice. John chapter 6, verse 69. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. So, I might as well look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 24. I thought we were going to go quick this morning. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, then ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Bear witness of what? That he is the Christ. But if ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And they had to believe that he was the Messiah. And then the kicker, Acts chapter 8. This is a great verse that all the Baptists and the people believe that the people that believe you have to be baptized after you're saved, not to be saved, they get into this argument. They pull up this Acts 8:37. Well, see, this verse is missing because this is a classic verse that teaches us that we need to be baptized after we're saved. No, it's not. Paul doesn't teach that, so that's not the problem. The problem here is this verse is taken out of here, I believe, because it's a verse that nails down what salvation was to a nation and to those individual Jews, if they were so to follow him, is based on the fact of what they would believe. Philip said, if thou believe with all thine heart, believe what? Well, he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's why that verse is missing. That's what they believed in the Old Testament, because right after this verse comes Paul, chapter 9. And yet we see that, look at chapter 9, of verse 20 of chapter 9, one of the first things that Paul has to get people to realize, he says straight away he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. So yeah, those folks had to believe that he was the Son of God. Right? So we can't go back to the Gospels for our salvation verses. We just can't do that. Okay. So, all those verses on John's baptism was for repentance anyway. They talked about remission. There was no salvation like we have it today anyway. And they didn't go to heaven when they died anyway, because Christ hadn't even gone up after he's done to pay any of this stuff. So, I don't understand why people preach so much out of the Gospels for their belief. Following Jesus, sure, you believe Jesus? Yeah. If you want to follow Jesus, according to the Gospels, you better give away everything you've got. And you need to believe that he is the Messiah. That's the truth. That's the truth that they had to believe during their gospel days. But see, we're not in the gospel days. So for us to go to the gospels for any of our foundational source of information other than Christ's life on this earth to the Jews, we're going to a wrong dispensation. We're getting people... Now get this right. That is truth. That they had to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And yes, it is true that Jesus was the Messiah. He still will be. And he is the Son of God, always has been. That truth, that is truth. But to believe that truth for our salvation today, we're believing the truth wrongly. We just are. And how many people have got their born-again pants on? And the only other place you read about being born again is in 1 John, of course, written by John, during the tribulation. So we don't ever, we're not to say we're born again. We're not even to look to the born again verses. We're to look to what Paul says about being quickened, being made alive. Okay, it doesn't answer your question, though, that person that wrote, because they wrote how the tribulation folks don't get saved as we do. Well, look at the gospel folks don't get saved as we do. There was a nation thing. Then you've got the Great Commission, Matthew 16, or Mark 16. Okay, Jesus told the Jews to go out there and teach them Jesus' teaching. Sure, no doubt. No doubt. And yet, what they were teaching him, was to be followed up by signs, cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up serpents, and drink any deadly thing, Mark 16:16-20. Confirmed the word with signs following. So, we're still looking at Jewish stuff here. God doesn't get to the Gentiles until Paul comes on the scene from Jesus Christ himself, the risen Savior. Then goes to Paul in Acts chapter 9. And yes, things are different. The church was begun on the truth, on the belief of the truth, that he was the Messiah. Okay, and that's all they had to deal with. And that's, as a nation, that was their job. We don't understand the differences, but there are differences there. Is it a different church? No. Is it a different body of Christ? No. Is it two different teachings? Yes. In some ways it is. Now, what does Paul preach? He preaches the way of God more perfectly. What did Jesus teach? In the Gospels it says, he taught the way of God. So the way of God during the Gospels was the fact that he was the Messiah. The way of God more perfectly is now you believe that he was the Messiah. Well, sure, he was the Son of God. Sure, he was the Lord. Sure, that's not a problem. As such, although a lot of people are taught that he's not the Son of God, et cetera, but our faith becomes his faith. Now, before we get to ours, let's answer. Let's go. This is the past salvation from the past. How it dealt with the Jews and their belief that he was the Messiah for repentance and for remittance and for remission is all they got. Let's go to the future now. How will they be saved? What is the truth they will have to believe during the tribulation days? That's the question. What was the truth they had to believe in the gospel days? That he was the Messiah. What's the truth in the future tribulation days? And what is the truth that we have to believe today? Let's go to the tribulation. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Now we see through these verses here, we're going to see that we are not able to, they will not be able to keep their salvation unless they maintain whatever it is they have to believe until the end. Let's just look at a bunch of verses here. Here we've got a string of verses here. Hebrews 3:14, here we go. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Look at Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. They didn't just have the grace like we have. They had to go to the throne to get it. And then, I don't know if I have that verse in here or not. I'll come across as we go here. Remember, I think it's in, I don't know. But they don't receive the grace until the end. They pray for it and they make it through their days and they have their tribulation time, their times of persecution and their murders and death and sickness and all these things they got to go through. And when Christ shows up, you know what he shows up with? Then he gives them their grace. I think that's in Peter. We'll get to it eventually here. Hebrews 5:14. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. They're going to have to be able to discern between good and evil. Now, what do you say? Well, so should we. Yeah, but what happens if we do evil? Nothing. We'll be rebuked and corrected in our Bible reading. But if you don't read your Bible, what's going to happen? Well, you reap what you sow. Well, sure, but that's not God's judgment. That's not God's chastisement. One of our Webb family friends down in Manila, in the Philippines, had a flood a year ago. Serious flood. Lost everything they had. Just finally got back to us here just recently. And we talked a little bit about, is this God's judgment? And he says, I sure can't help but think that it was. Well, no, it wasn't. And if you can, he's just starting the Paul stuff. And if he gets a hold of, as he gets a hold of the Paul stuff, I said, you'll realize that what happened down there is life. That's this earthly wicked life. And it's sad that your nation reaps what it does as a godless nation. But that's not God's judgment going on down there. It's just reaping. Well, that's just what happens. And you learn about Paul's stuff, you will realize that your Savior's not doing that to you. And you'll just get a whole different joy that you've ever had before in your life. Just like we also got a note. I got a note last night here where somebody wrote and said, as I go to bed now, 4 a.m., I realize I made it through November 20th and have sojourned on this earth longer than any of my brothers. I didn't realize he was worried about that. So then he says, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful. And my song shall ever be. He sings that song, how marvelous. But you know, Baptist people, I keep picking the Baptist because that's the religious, that's the Diana stuff that has caused me the most harm. I despise it. Lutherans and the whole spiel. These folks don't understand how he could love us, a sinner, condemned, and unclean. Well, you study Paul, and you find out how he can love us. We see what he did to us to make us no longer a sinner. Sinning is still taking place because we have the sin in us, in our flesh. Are we unclean? Our flesh is unclean. Are we condemned? Our flesh is condemned. But me, myself, I, are not. Then you sing, how marvelous, how wonderful. Because, see, these people, they want to sing how marvelous and wonderful their Savior is, but he's not quite marvelous to them because he has to spank them when they do wrong. And he expects perfected, a sinless life, or he chastises, or he judges them, and he hammers them sometimes. So the pressure is put on the people to do right. We don't even have the pressure put on us. We do right because we love him. We try to do right because we love him. And we fight the flesh all the time. But how marvelous? He took care of that flesh issue. He cut us away from it. He took care of the uncleanness. He won't impute this stuff to us. He took it upon himself. And again, it goes on and on. So this, the people in tribulation don't have this. The people in the Gospels don't have this. So why are these preachers going to the Gospels? Why are they going to Hebrews through Jude? Because it puts that guilt trip on people. That's what Baptist is. It's a guilt trip. It's to make you feel crummy for not bringing people to church. It's to make you feel crummy for not paying enough money. It's to make you feel crummy because you're not helping the community learn about Jesus. And, no, let's follow the Scriptures. Let's do the same. Let's believe the truth as we are to believe the truth for that dispensation. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Get back in trail here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse, how are we doing? Oh, we'll get it in here. Yeah. Got to fly here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back under perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. They've got to believe all the way through this whole tribulation, and when he comes back, they're not shamed, and he'll take them. Now we don't see in the Gospels that it was still their faith. Habakkuk chapter 2 talks about being justified by their faith. We realize that in the tribulation, they have to have faith, which I'll show you here in a few minutes, if we can get to it here. They have to have faith, but they can lose that faith. And if they live by faith, but if any man draw back, you know, get away from that stuff, they're done with him. He's done with them. So that's what those two references are for. Let's keep going. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter. Yeah, whose faith did they have? Their own. It says in verse 6, it defines it. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's their faith. They have to have faith. We have that kind of a faith. But haven't you ever drawn back? Haven't you ever given up? Haven't you ever gone back somewhat? But see, we still have his faith. We all know that stuff, so we won't get into that. So that whole chapter 11 is a great chapter on faith. But it isn't the faith of Christ that these people had. They had a strong faith. Do you have enough faith to go up to to reveal what these guys had to die? Look at verse 13. These all died in faith. Do we have enough faith of our faith? We get frustrated or people mock us because of our modesty. We don't like it because we get tired of fighting the thing about King James only and following Paul and the things that Paul teaches. Teaching the women not to work in the workplace, in the career. Let the men handle that stuff and the women get home and have their children and take care of the house. People hate that. And we get tired of people going, oh, that's crazy. You know, we got fathers that'll shove their girls out to the workplace and then in 5 years wonder why they're so stinking worldly. Well, Dad, that's your fault. Anyway. So it's not in the tribulation. It is, they have faith, but it's their faith they have to maintain. Let's keep going here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about so great with a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Sure, we all have something that is more to us than it is to somebody else, but it's still part of our flesh. We're still cut away from it. And sure, it'll still feed it. It will still bother our flesh, and we'll fight it all the time. But it's not like it says in Hebrews. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's good. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So pleading the blood, like Dr. Ruckman gets all these guys to do, that's a tribulation thing. Ruckman's preaching a tribulation message every time he says that about plead the blood. Look at verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So people have to see you in the tribulation living that Christian clean life. But you'll be persecuted for it. Well, if you want people to see it, so they see the Lord, they'll have to see it in you in your life. 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Have you not ever heard of an anti-bitterness message? And if you're bitter toward somebody, your life will not be blessed by God. You'll be a miserable, unhappy person. He's getting that from the tribulation. 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Well, there's a threat for you. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. So in other words, in the tribulation, they can blow it so bad that there's no repentance. He's rejected. Christ doesn't reject us today, ever. Get into that with the Bible stuff. Let's go look into James. James chapter 1. How are we doing? James 1, verse 12. Let's fly here, though. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And if you no longer love him, you can lose the crown of life. You don't endure it to the end. You take the mark, give up your faith, quit obeying the commandments, your history. Let's keep going. Verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness and graft your work which is able to save your souls. Sure it is. But be ye doers of the word. And that's James' whole point. If you're not doing what you need to be doing, you have an empty faith. Look at 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridles not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Christ has made our soul unspotted. Our flesh is still spotted. Our flesh is one big, gigantic, filthy spot. He doesn't take care of that until at the judgment seat. See, these people will be going through the judgment seat. Okay, let's keep going here. We're not going to get done. James chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? No. He proceeds to tell us down those verses, no, faith doesn't save them. Look at chapter 2, verse 14. Let's go now. We just did that one. Let's go down here to 20 and a 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? A dead faith is going to save them? No. See, this is the point here this morning was, question was asked, how the tribulation folks don't get saved as we do. Oh, they don't at all. And we don't even get saved like they did during the Gospels. Our salvation to us today is a dispensation of grace. It's through the teachings of Paul. No one else. Not Peter, not John, not James, not Jude. Do they get saved? Do they get saved? The process of getting saved by just asking Jesus to save them, by trusting in Him? No. It's by doing the right thing and having faith and not taking the mark. What I'll do here is I'll just leave these verses will be on the notes here. These are marvelous verses. Look at 1 Peter. There's more in James. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. This is the verse that says they don't even get their grace till the end. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We have His grace already. They don't even get His grace until He comes. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, it just goes on and on. 14, 15, 16, be holy as I am holy. He really means it. Paul tells us to be holy in our walk. Sure he does. He wants us to do clean. Wants us to do right. Because we love Christ. Because we love God for what He's done. It's a maturity that we have as a Christian. We grow up when we do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, not to receive something like our salvation. It goes on and on. I've got 2 Peter... Or 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15 to 21. It just goes on. I'm going to trust that you pull these verses up and you read these things. These are very encouraging verses to us. We are living in the best time there is to live, believe it or not. Oh, I wish we'd have lived during the Gospels. I could have seen Jesus. Would you have followed Him? And don't say you would have, because nobody did. By the time He was done, everybody had left Him, including this guy in the book of Mark that came in there and kind of hung around and tried to stay there with Him. Even he left. One final Bible guy. He stuck around, and he left too. So, if I lived in the tribulation, see, if I missed my salvation because I didn't do it right, I'll be able to do it right in the tribulation. Oh, you will? Seriously? You want to just enjoy your time now? So you can, if we're right and the tribulation comes, well, I know what to do then. You know what to do then. That's right. You'll know what to do. And you know what not to do. And you won't be able to do it. You have to have the Spirit of God upon your flesh. And even then, people get chastised by Jesus all the time. Or just remind, you won't have a job. You won't be able to buy anything. You won't be able to sell, trade, anything. I don't care how much food the Mormon Beck says you should have in your house. Isn't that amazing? Here we got on TV now these days, a Mormon now teaching people how to store food in their basement. This guy is a Mormon. He's preaching Mormon, the ways of the Mormon church. And the American people love it. Oh. You won't be able to stock up enough food. And they'll come killing you for it anyway. Well, I got my guns. You won't have your guns then? Come on. Don't take a chance on the tribulation. And read these verses here. Look at 2 Peter. I'll pick a couple more here. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You'll have to escape the corruption. You can't work there. You can't go there. You can't visit these people. If you do, you're done. Where is that? Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. Or 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, which is fun. The word fun and sportiness is wantonness. those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled and overcome. The latter end is worse to them than the beginning. So they can be worse off than they started in the tribulation. I like that verse 19. These are preachers. This is happening today. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage. We've got people that will not leave their church because they're in bondage to their pastor. These pastors promise them promises, a better church, a growing church, God's blessings, blah, 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 blah. They're already doing this today, speaking the great swelling words of vanity. They're getting people through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, and wantonness is sportiness, frolicsome, negligent of restraint. The simple word for wantonness is fun. If you're not having fun in church, then there's something wrong. Come to church and have fun. Paul is not fun. Living the manner of life of Paul is not fun. It can be enjoyable because you're doing the right thing. You're not arrogant, but you're pleasing God. You can enjoy that. It's not fun to be the only one in a whole town wearing, being modest. It's not fun for the man to be the one running the family. He hasn't got time to go drive around his four-wheelers because he's busy taking care of his family. It's not fun. But these guys are promising them fun, and our preachers are already doing it. And we've got people that are doing the wrong thing. They're going to the wrong purpose of the church. It's Ephesians 4. It's not Acts chapter 2. And we've got people that don't like the tithing. We've got people that don't like the preaching on the tithing, don't like the preaching on this kind of stuff, the guilt that they put on you. What are you still doing there? You are under the bondage of your pastor. Well, I don't know. I guess I'll go ask my pastor what he thinks about this. Why? Don't you have a Bible, man? Don't you have a Bible? Look it up yourself. Write and divide that thing. Your preacher's lying to you. But he's such a good man. You're under his bondage. You're afraid to step aside. Be glad this isn't the tribulation. Because you go to hell. Because you lose your salvation by hanging around this stuff. So I can still stay in the church? Yes, you can still stay in that church. But you're going to be, your children and yourself are going to be taught lies. You're going to come out of there with no joy. You're going to come out of there with guilt for not doing your job. That's amazing. That's a good verse there. But yet it's not today. It's tribulation. But we see we're getting ready to transition right into the tribulation. Isn't it amazing? Oh, time-wise. So you go to 2 Peter, you go to 2 John, 3 John, 1 John, a whole bunch of verses in 1 John. I got one asterisk here. Let's check it out. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. Let's look at that one. 1 John chapter 3. Here we go. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. There you go. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. You know how you know you're a Christian in the tribulation? It's because of what you're doing. You know why people think they're Christians today? Because of what they're doing. They go to church. They do a Bible study here and there if they've got time. But they go to church. They're good people. They're believing the wrong truth. They've been lied to. This is serious stuff. This involves our salvation. We're looking at verses in the Gospels. We're looking at verses in the tribulation that teaches the wrong stuff. If we read it today. More and more verses. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 talks about unction. But we have an unction from the Holy One. Oh, we do? Yeah, because it says, and ye know all things. Oh, you do? You go to 1 John chapter 20, verse 27. You've been anointed. Oh, you have? Then he says here, you've received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. See? And we talk to people that think, well, the Bible, you can't teach me anything. I know what I need to know. God teaches me these things. You've been lied to, buddy. You're believing tribulational doctrine. It's amazing. And I got verses. I got so many more verses here. Let's go. I got to go to one kicker. Let's go to Revelation Let's go to Revelation 3. I'm skipping 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, and Jude. I got it listed on my notes. I'll get them on there this time. I hope you can read them. Revelation 3, verse 18. Let's look at that. Revelation 3, verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve. You know what that verse is? That's Laodicean. And this is people that have to do it themselves. They have to go out and buy this stuff. They've got to go out and get this stuff to happen. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Yeah, that's a good verse. He doesn't do that to us. We're not being chastened by him today, other than through the words of the Bible. Then we see in verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. So you go through these books in Revelation, these people had to be the overcomers. They've got to overcome as he overcame. Even as I also overcame. They have to overcome. It's works. Finished up here, 12, I got 12, verse 11 here. Let's see what Revelation 12, 11 is. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. See? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. You know what our problem is today? We don't have to worry about it. But our problem is we love our lives more than we love God. And we all do. I'll go down the list. We all do. Myself. We love our lives. Our daily living. Our lives. More than we love God, even though we know what he's done to us and for us. The tribulation, if they love their lives more than God, they'll die and go to hell. We love our lives more than we love God. We still get to go to heaven to be with him, but we lose a lot of rewards from our works. We're not worried about that, are we? That doesn't bother us. Whatever, we blow it and blah, 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 blah. But boy, just think of the tribulation. Those guys lose their... They love their lives more than God. They lose their lives eternally. There's a difference in the tribulation and us. And they have to have faith. Revelation 14, let's finish. I'll try to finish that. Revelation chapter 14. Look at verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. Now remember what Paul says in Galatians 1? If any, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And here we have in Revelation 14 an angel preaching the truth. But that angel is preaching the truth, the everlasting gospel, during the tribulation. If that gospel is preached to us today, which it is in almost all the churches, it's against Paul. That's an accursed gospel. That's an accursed person that's doing that. That's what Paul says. We've got accursed preachers preaching to people lies. They will not preach Paul only. And if they preach Paul and the Gospels and some of the books in the tribulation, they're mixing truth with lie. 1 ounce of spit in my glass water and I'm not going to drink it. It's corrupted. It's polluted. One false belief in your history as far as what's the truth is, you're going to try to teach your children to live the Beatitudes? Why? It'll send them to hell. Because it says to be a peacekeeper are your children of God. Are you a child of God? That's how serious this stuff is. Now, chapter 14. Keeps going. There's a whole bunch of verses in there. But read over here, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead, in his forehead, or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Keep going. Go down to verse 12. Because 9, 10, 11 talks about worshiping the beast. Verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Because, boy, talk about having patience during the tribulation. Okay, so where is patience talked about here? Well, if I remember correctly, I might not be right here, but let's check it out here. We go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. So charity is the most important thing. No, the scripture is the most important thing. Do right. So he says another sermon for somebody else that they asked. But that whole little string, that's during the tribulation. Why are you preaching that now? It makes sense. Well, sure, it kind of does, I suppose, but it's taking people in the wrong part of the book. We always say, don't pray for patience, because what comes before patience is knowledge, temperance, and intemperance, patience. And patience, God is. Now, Paul does talk about some of that stuff, doesn't he? Tribulation worketh patience. But that's during Paul's time. Look at his order of things. Look at his list. It's different. Anyway, Revelation 14, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that, one, keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. They have to be the ones to keep it. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yes, in the Lord. They better die that way or they don't have him. Anyway. Now, we don't have the time. Shouldn't have to. You know what you believe by Paul. Romans 10, Ephesians chapter 1. By faith in Christ, you hear the gospel of your salvation. You believe and you trust. And Paul's got a whole ton of verses. Pull out the tract on Paul's Greater Commission. Read what Paul talks about salvation. Paul talks about it all the time. It's the way of God more perfectly. But Christianity today is not about winning souls. It's about teaching those that are Christians. And if we love our life good enough, nice enough, and people see that the Paul's teachings have entered into us, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I think it is, verse 9 and 10, then they will want what we have, which is the whole purpose of why the Gentiles were given what they were given. So the Jews, and even the lost people, will see what you have, and they'll want it. You know what? People don't want what we have. Why? Because people aren't preaching what Paul gave them. People aren't telling other people what the risen Savior's done to us. He doesn't make us just live a sinless life, because we're not. We're sinning, and they look at us and go, well, so you're not a good Christian. That's a bad testimony when we do something wrong, when you are dressed immodest. And you've been preaching modesty for years. If you do talk like you shouldn't, and you've been talking, you know, people have a false idea of false concept of religion. And if they see us mess up, we cause them to stumble. But we have the liberty to do those things. Yeah, but we don't have the liberty to cause them to stumble. But if we do, we're not going to be accountable for it. Our works will be, but not us personally. So it's a marvelous time today. Our salvation is different today than it was during the gospel time. Our salvation is different today than it will be during the tribulation time. And I'll put my original scanned, handwritten notes on the website here in about 20 minutes. And there's more verses on there. Read them all, especially in the tribulation verses. I got a bunch of stuff in Peter, a bunch of stuff in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, a bunch of stuff in James. And you'll hear your preacher. If you go to church, I guarantee you will hear your preacher preach to you verses that are wrong, from the wrong part of your Bible, and their intent is to get people in the community to see that you are just like they are, and please come and join us. Worship God with us. And they're bringing them in with music, and they're bringing them in with compromise, and they're bringing them in with lies. And if you want to be part of that, then be glad you're not living in the tribulation, because if you're living in the tribulation and did that, when you die, you go to hell. There you have it. Dispensational salvation, belief of the truth.